This is GamesAtWork.biz with Phaedra Boinodiris, Michael Martin, and Michael Rowe, your weekly podcast about gaming technology and play. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone, and not the opinions of any organization which we have been, are, or may be affiliated with. This is episode 106, Stick It On Your Face.
Hello and welcome to another edition of GamesAtWork.biz. This is Michael Martin. I'm coming to you live from my studio office, and I am delighted to be accompanied today by my co-host, Michael Rowe. Hi, Michael.
Woohoo! Hi, Michael. It's an exciting day in the GamesAtWork.biz recording studio as we test out new technology.
Yeah, we haven't gone to new technology in a long time, and we need to have the experience of dealing with gremlins and debugging and all that fun stuff. So
we just can't feed them after dark.
Yes, don't put water on them. Don't put water on them.
No, don't get them wet. Don't feed them after dark.
So we have a fun show today and a couple of topics that I'm really eager to chat with you about, because I think some of the things you saw at CES and some of the things that you've been experiencing recently are very relevant. So let's start with Microsoft. And no, we're not talking about Microsoft Bob. We're talking about the Microsoft HoloLens. And that's H-O-L-O for those of you who are trying to do homonyms. HoloLens.
Hello.
I love this. You know, the lens itself appears to me to be a little on the big and bulky side, but the things that you can do with it, oh my gosh.
Oh, but it's even bigger than that, right? So the prototype that they show in the article and on their site.
Yep.
Is not the one that the people got to test out recently. The one that people get to test out recently had the same type of, you know, wiring harness that you have with the Oculus Rift.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. So this is cool looking compared to what's really available right now. I mean, this has the entire computer built into the headset.
Mm-hmm.
But the current one really is leveraging wires and connectors, et cetera, from everything I've seen and heard of on other podcasts recently.
Well, you know, even when we get to this slick
that,
view,
it doesn't really matter,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we're talking about prototypes and getting ready, right?
Yes.
To me, this is augmented reality in the ways that we were expecting it to be. You're seeing the real world. You're seeing overlays on top of the real world. And what I was loving about this was how in the way that you could actually work together with other people, where you could be physically in two separate locations and you could be seeing the same realities and working on the same objects and even see a visual representation of the other person, all within the confines of a real space overlaid with virtual capabilities.
Yeah, I mean, I remember shortly after the iPhone started doing apps, Yelp enabled, oh God, I can't remember what they called it, but basically you would hold up your iPhone, you would look at the screen, the camera would turn on in the back, and it would do an AR overlay of the map around you, showing you restaurant reviews. Do you remember that?
Vaguely. I mean, there were lots of those kinds of things that were very Terminator-esque.
Yeah, but that was the first one. That was the very first one that came out on the iPhone. And this is like, take that, stick it on your face, and make it useful.
Stick it on your face. You know, now you're making me go back and try to flip through and find it, because there are a couple of early versions of augmented reality apps that I did put on my phone. I have to look for them.
This was Yelp. This was in Yelp. There was this little magic button you would turn on, and that would then enable. And I've got to find it, because it was they had a really cool name for it. Wikitude. I remember that.
Would like to access location while I'm using the app. Yes, loading.
Of course.
Okay. So, unfortunately, I'm in the building right now, so it's probably not doing a lot of finding stuff for me.
So, Elvis has not left the building yet?
He's not left the building yet. But I'm walking around trying to find him. So I believe that this is a big, big step. And all of the discussion that I've been hearing about, well, you know, the difference between Google Glass and the HoloLens and this and that and the other, these are all steps, evolutionary steps toward the combination of the digital and the physical. So I see each of them as incremental steps getting where we can and will be eventually, where it's going to be basic eye implants and eye surgery, and I'm going to go right back to having the squishy feeling about not wanting anyone touching my eyes. But these are the sort of things that in the future I'll be like, yeah, okay, I think I can deal with somebody touching my eyes if I can have these sorts of capabilities, you know?
Yeah, the best example I've heard about the difference between Glass, Oculus Rift, and HoloLens, right, is that Google Glass showed the potential but hasn't really delivered yet. And they've actually gone back, and there's an internal a recent article that came out that I was listening to on one podcast that was talking about how the Glass team has been told to pretty much go back to the drawing board, start over, and it will be released when it's ready, right? No more Explorer program, etc. So if you take that as a learning experience, then you take a look at Oculus Rift, which is not about AR at all. It's really about VR, where you have no interaction with the real world.
Yeah.
And you take those two things and say, what's the best of Glass and the best of Oculus? HoloLens shows the promise of that, right? Integrating in augmented capabilities, but more in the way that a VR world would provide you with a full rendering of stuff. And I'm wondering the company, oh God, what was it? Magic Leap or something like that?
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. With the elephant?
Yes.
That one, my gut with the picture that they show on their website, which is all super secret, nobody knows what's going on, right? Lends me to believe a lot more down the HoloLens model than going down the Oculus Rift model. So augmented reality in such a way that it becomes useful means that even in the early prototypes, what Microsoft is doing, even with all the wires and stuff, you're not going to do a lot of augmented reality walking down the street.
Well, right? Certainly which not if you're tethered, right?
Well, which is okay to be tethered then, right? Because Glass was doing the walking down the street augmented reality, but really restricted it to primarily simple overlays of information, not 3D models, not fully interactive type things that would be extremely useful, especially in a business or learning setting. And so the HoloLens technology at least looks really cool. I have signed up to be notified about it.
Oh, me too.
I'm sure you've done the same.
Yep.
and I can't wait to see how that one comes out and how it rolls out quickly.
Yeah, I love how they're using in the initial statements and the initial videos about HoloLens acquisitions such as Skype, acquisitions such as Minecraft.
Minecraft,
you know,
yep.
These are just fantastic ways of demonstrating what this really means, because you and I might be building motorcycles in our spare time, but we are much more likely to be building a portal to the Nether. So this is good stuff. This is very, very good stuff.
I'm trying to remember, and I'm going to dig back on my other blog real quick. If you remember, one of the companies that I saw at CES was showing consumer ready this new device that looks like, I won't say it looks all the way HoloLens, but the ODGR65.
That's pretty catchy,
right? That was in the Qualcomm booth, I believe, as really that AR set of glasses, and very, very similar form factor and look as the HoloLens. And I'll throw a picture in the show notes of that one. So that people can see what you want to talk about and maybe take a look at it and say, is that the same thing?
So when you put the link in earlier today via email about show potential topics, the Air and Space Museum, and not the one that's on the mall in Washington, D.C., but the one that's out by the airport, has an article about it, about a game for your inner spy. And it's in the Air and Space magazine that is due to come out in March.
Actually, it's the one that if you're a subscriber, you already have at home because I'm reading it.
Well, that's because you live in the future.
I do. I do live in the future.
It's the March 2015 edition. It's a great place to be. Edition. Yes. You get to have 2020 hindsight to today.
Wow. So you just blew my mind.
I love this particular article because I could see where a HoloLens version of this game could be so amazing. Tell us a little bit about what you were thinking when you first read it.
Well, my first reaction was, okay, games at work. This is a game. You could work at the Air and Space Museum at the airport. But I wanted to look at it from the historical aspect and the learning aspect of using a game to teach information about history. And then after you sent the link on the HoloLens, you know, it's just bing, it makes sense, right? Of putting those two things together. But the whole thing that's really cool about it is this game was inspired by a game from the colonial Williamsburg site where you play a game and become a spy during the Revolutionary War. And you get a spy score as you play, and you go undercover and you learn stuff around Colonial Williamsburg. In this game, what's really cool about it is it's really designed for like a large team of people. They split you up, and you have to find the downed flyer in the museum. So it's obviously something that's going to be related to a plane that you're going to have to figure out. You learn about studying spy satellite pictures, et cetera, to understand season, location, weather conditions, et cetera, just from a photograph. So there's a lot of learning aspect there. And then you get encrypted data that you have to decrypt and figure out in order to find the downed spy in the museum. So it's a great way to really provide I'll use the term that I don't like much, but I'll say multimodal experience to bring all that stuff together. And for people who learn different ways, it's a great way of bringing all these different things away to make sure that everybody learns about the history, about aviation, about the time period, around the planes, et cetera, et cetera. So I thought it was a great way to bring all that together. And they do this every week. So every Saturday you can go to that museum, and for the next couple of years it's a program that allows, you know, 60 to 90 minutes to play this game, which is really cool.
That's awesome. We ought to plan a time to go up there and do just that.
Yes.
We can report on it in person.
Yes.
Let's go now. I mean, look, it's we got time. Come on.
Sure, sure. Take a long, slow drive, and by the time you get there for tomorrow when the game starts.
Yeah. Oops, that's true. Don't want to miss that. But I do love that museum. I enjoy it, and I can't wait for a chance to go back.
Yeah, I spent a whole day there with my camera and just went nuts. I mean, there's hundreds of planes in there, including, you know, part of I think it's a whole space shuttle, the SR-71, you know,
Blackbird.
I mean, just everything. Very, very cool. And as a plane geek, and that's PLANE, even though I am a PLAIN geek also, it's a wonderful place.
It's a homonym show all front to back, isn't it? So if
more
we
than
couldn't,
you can shake a stick at.
If we couldn't get to Washington, D.C., another place to be would be NYC. And the second of the
I see what you did
links,
there.
Oh, yeah. Pretty good, huh? Second of the links that you'd sent actually comes from WNYC, from their New Tech City blog, radio show, podcasty sort of stuff. And let me have you introduce it, because there's so many cool things here, but I want you to get us started.
So actually, I almost said I saw this. I heard this. One of the podcasts that I follow is called On the Media, which looks at the effect that new technology has had, as well as, you know, changes in society on the media, right? The effect mm-hmm. on the media. And it does interesting stories. More about the stories are about the process of the stories, not necessarily the story. So, for example, the Snowden story over the last year plus, right? The story has been how that has played out in the media, not necessarily about the individual leaks themselves, et cetera. And every once in a while, they'll slip something new in their podcast feed. The team that records New Tech City literally sits down the hall from the On the Media team. And so they put in this week's feed a story on boredom. And the basic story is called Bored and Brilliant. So it's the Bored and Brilliant Project. And the basic premise is that we've lost... B-O-R-E-D, not B-O-A-R-D. Or what's the third way? As in boring a hole.
B-O-R-E-D.
Oh, no. It's bored the same way. Ah! So the basic premise is we've lost the ability to be bored. Right? And I mean, whenever we're bored nowadays, you know, we'll pick up our cell phone, right? And we'll, you know, play Candy Crush or not that I play Candy. I don't play.
I wouldn't
it.
Do but that.
We pick up an electronic device because they're so engaging, right? Whether that's, you know, checking your email or playing a game or listening to a podcast or, you know, whatever, right? Reading a book on your Kindle. We pick up an electronic device and we've lost the ability to be bored. And the recorder of the show was saying, she started thinking about, was this a bad thing?
Yeah, was it a problem? Exactly.
Yeah. And so she reached out to a couple of researchers and said, hey, is this a bad thing? And of course, the researchers went, I've been studying that. And yes, it could be, but we don't know, but maybe. So anyway, they decided to do a project called Bored and Brilliant, because what they've discovered is, through some research, that when people are bored, it allows your mind to wander. And by allowing your mind to wander, you can come up with new connections between things. So the example is, this one researcher had people copy the phone book, and made them do it for about 20 minutes, because that's a pretty boring task, right?
Right.
And at the end, she asked them, what could you make with paper cups? After that experiment, most of the things came back, you know, I could make something to hold sand, blah, 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 right? It wasn't very exciting. She goes, I wonder if they weren't bored enough. So she took another group and made them read the phone book. So you're sitting there going, oh, my God, that's got to be boring. And after that, people started coming back with much more creative ideas, like, you know, made a Madonna bra out of it, made earrings, jewelry, all kinds of things that you wouldn't think about with paper cups. And so the premise there is, when you are bored, your mind wanders, and you need time for your mind to wander. And mind wandering while you're awake allows you to reach some of the subconscious connections that your mind makes while you're asleep. And so boredom in this regard is a good thing. And so they're doing this experiment this week, and unfortunately today's the last day, where each day they gave a challenge out of what you could do to increase your boredom. So that you could then increase the creativity in your mind.
Right.
Which I just thought was brilliant.
Well, there was a part of the text from the New Tech City blog that said that there's a reason why your most interesting ideas tend to happen in the shower. And that's because you're free of everything and your mind wanders.
Yes, you are free of everything.
You're free of everything. You're not constrained and none of that stuff.
By clothes or...
Yeah, exactly. Plus, it's really hard to pick up your phone and be tweeting while you're in the shower too, right? So this is really intriguing. And I've heard something like this before, not that long ago, that you're right, we're not bored enough. And when you're bored, then you seek out things to fix that boredom and you create new things. So I liked everything that I read. It's unfortunate that we've missed the whole week of the challenge.
But on their blog, they've posted all 5 challenges, so you can get started now.
So, yeah. So that could be kind of fun, right?
Yeah, so I'm actually testing challenge 1, which is to keep your cell phone in your pocket. And there's an app that they recommend called Moment, i.e. Stay in the moment, right? To figure out all the time that you waste checking your cell phone. So I will try that for a day or two, and it will tell me how many times I pick it up each day.
Well, and they said that many people pick up their phone hundreds of times a day.
Hundreds. The author of the app, I think, started at like 400 or 300 times a day and was trying to get it down to less than 100. That would be repetitive stress injury.
You would think so. You would really think so. And I'm downloading the app right now. Actually, it seems like it's taking a while for it to actually apply and come on.
That's to
my
give
phone.
You time to be bored.
It must be. I'm like, come on.
Are you
I'm
looking at the phone
already?
The whole time? You looking? Is it there? Is it there?
Huh?
Is it there
what?
Yet? Is it there yet?
What? I've been watching. Looking at my phone. I'm picking it up. Look at that. What about? So, very interesting set of topics. And the other challenges are deleting apps. Don't take a picture. A photo free day.
Easy.
It is, but I tend to take a lot of pictures too. And it's funny how many times now you can take a picture that's actually better, easier than writing something down because you've got the picture,
Yeah, but so I was looking back at all the pictures I took at CES, right?
Yeah.
And realizing that I took a ton of pictures that I'll never do anything with. I took them because I could. There was actually no added value in taking the picture. So why did I take the picture?
No idea. I have no idea. I was waiting for the punchline.
Exactly. Now, I don't know why I took the picture. I took it because I thought, hey, I should take this picture.
Because you could.
Because I could.
And the marginal cost of taking another picture was zero, as opposed to
functionally
before.
Zero.
It was much more than that.
Oh, yeah, because you had to develop the pictures. You had to take the time out to go to the one-hour photo mart. You had to decide, am I going to get flat, matte, or glossy pictures? Do I want to get extra copies of those pictures? Then you had to film.
to have to make.
Memories.
It's not fun, right?
Yep. So by the way, I can't remember if I mentioned this earlier, but I did find the name of the service in the Yelp app. It was the monocle feature.
Where that kind of came back to your brain too, monocle, huh?
Yes. Very, very cool.
So, Michael, we're getting close to the end of our time here. I think we've hit a number of really intriguing concepts, making sure we're getting our spelling correct and homonyms proper.
Correct.
Talking about Air and Space Museum and flight, concepts around augmented reality and the use of the new Microsoft technology, compare and contrast, along with what's going on with Facebook and Google, too. So... What else? What else is occupying your time? What are you playing now?
You know, I haven't had time to play in a while. I'm currently rehearsing a show that will be in March of this year. I, as longtime listeners of my various podcasts will know, I try to do a show each year if I have time, and I'm going to be performing in the Durham Savoyard's Light Opera presentation of Gilbert and Sullivan's Utopia Limited this March, March 20-odd-ish. So that should be fun.
That'll be excellent.
And one of the reasons why I don't have much time is I'm getting prepared for the IBM Interconnect conference, which I know you and Phaedra talked about briefly the last show. And we'll be in Las Vegas for that, have a couple of speaking sessions on the expo floor. I've got a track that I'm managing about helping developers and engineers create the next generation of connected products in the Internet of Things. Yeah, it's going to be crazy busy. And it's crazy busy getting ready for it, too. How about you? Playing anything fun?
You know, I've not had a ton of time either, but I did finish the Lego movie game yesterday. So
you finished it?
I didn't unlock every one of the elements on every one of the quests, but I did manage to play it through to completion. And I'd have to say it was pretty fun. It's pretty good. I enjoyed it very much.
Was it awesome?
Everything is awesome.
Excellent. You know, you got to lob the softball every once in a while.
Yeah, exactly. So I had a great time with that. But I'm looking forward trying the boredom elements, and maybe I will try to get some time in this weekend and just be bored for a bit, and we'll see how that goes.
I think it would be a good thing.
I do, too. I think it'd be good. And maybe some dim sum. If I can do both of those things, I'll consider the weekend a success.
Is there a good dim sum restaurant around here?
There is. In Chapel Hill, there's a very good one. It's down down Airport Road or Martin Luther King Boulevard. And just before you get to the police station, kind of go up the hill, it's on the right.
Interesting. I have not been there yet. Must find one.
Yes.
Well, we hope our listeners are not bored, and that we want to hear your feedback on this show and any episode. Just go to our blog at gamesatwork.biz, comment on the show notes, or catch us on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, you name it. We even post notifications on LinkedIn for the people who prefer to get their messages that way. And thanks to our new listeners who've given us a shout-out recently, welcome aboard, and love to hear your feedback.
Absolutely. Thanks, everybody, and have an awesome day. See ya.
Everything's awesome.
Bye.
You've been listening to GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network, and would like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at GamesAtWork_biz or at our website at GamesAtWork.biz.